Take your Bibles tonight. Please remain standing. Take your Bibles. Hebrews chapter number 1. Hebrews chapter number 1. You know, a number of weeks ago we started in the book of Hebrews. As best as we could guess, it was written by the Apostle Paul. We know that it was primarily written to Jewish people, Hebrews. Of course, we read all of the Bible. We learn from all of it. It was written somewhere after Calvary, somewhere before Jerusalem and that temple were sacked. And we know that the theme of Hebrews is what we have in Christ is so much better. Do you know, many of these Jews remember when their faith was Judaism and all the temple and tabernacle and sacrifices and priesthood. And what this book is written is to convince them, if you are in Christ, what you have is better. And so that's where we're going, and we find ourselves in verse number 4. So Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4, let's read that together, reading it out loud. Then we'll have a word of prayer. Verse number 4. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Let's pray. Father, again, we're so grateful for each one that's here. Lord, I know that some of ours dealing with sickness, others maybe you're traveling, that's possible. But Lord, for each one's made the effort to come, help it to be more than just another service, more than just another message. Help it to help us to appreciate all that we have in Jesus Christ. Again, never know who else might be listening to this. And Lord, if there's one who's never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, they need to make that decision. And I pray that they'd make it today. Help us this evening, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Preacher, what are we looking at tonight? Well, if you were with us last time, we looked at the credentials of who Jesus Christ is. And we found out that he is God's final revelation. Once Jesus finished speaking, and we find our Lord's words right to the very last chapter of Revelation. Once our Lord finished speaking, God's revelation of truth was done. That's why we're not looking for any more chapters in the Bible. Jesus is God's fairest reflection. We found that last time. And though no one has seen God, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We know that Jesus is God's finished redemption. Our Lord paid the full price. Finally, Jesus is God's finest reputation. Pastor, what are we looking at today? Well, really, our text tells us, because everything from verse 4 to the end of verse 14, there's a word that shows up 5 times. So it kind of sets the theme for what we're looking at. Look there, if you would, in verse number 4. Being made so much better than the angels. Look there in verse number 5. For unto which of the angels, look there at the end of verse 6, and let all the angels, look there if you wouldn't, beginning of verse 7, and of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and then verse number 13, but to which of the angels? Do you know, in just these few verses, we find the word angels 6 different times, shows up again and again and again. Not only does it show up 6 times in this chapter number 1, but it shows up 8 more times in the rest of Hebrews. And again, all of it is summed up with verse number 4. Look there at Hebrews 1:4. Being made so much better than the angels. Do you know the whole theme of verse 4 to 14? Is Jesus is better than the angels. Now, you and I probably wouldn't argue with that. But you know that in that first century, there were those that were so enamored with angels that they gave more attention to angels than they gave to Jesus Christ. Well, if, I say, if angels deserved some attention, if Jesus is so much better than the angels, whatever attention the angels would be given, Jesus deserves so much more attention to that. So in the first century, there were those that were giving more attention to angels. His point is all the attention should be given to the Lord. And you know, likely we are in the last days before Jesus comes back. And hasn't there been a revival of interest in angels? Now, I'm not a TV watcher, but it's not very hard with a Google search to find out how many programs, how many talk shows, how many movies, all of the theme of them is around angels. I could name them because I don't know them. But just as in the first century, there was a rise of attention given to angels that should have been given to Jesus Christ. So too, in this last century, there is a rise of attention given to angels, and all of that attention should be given to Jesus Christ. Again, look at verse number 4, because that really sums up everything from verse 4 to 14. About Jesus, it says, being made so much better than the angels. And again, isn't it true that the subject of angels has become very popular? Bookstores are filled with books about them. We would say that TV and movies depict them. And people have got some strange ideas, and they get them from the movies. Could I say to you, that's not a very sound source for doctrine. You know that many artists draw angels to look like women. And so they have shining faces and long white garments and long flowing hair. I think you'd be hard-pressed to get that description here from the Bible about angels. Other artists have drawn angels that look like little babies. So they're like a little Cupid with a Cupid bow and a Cupid arrow. They're angels. For years, my wife's parents sold pictures, and many of the pictures that we have in our building here came from them. I remember her dad telling me in this picture company that he sold pictures, angels were a top seller. And if they weren't the ones that looked like women in long white garments and long flowing hair, they were the wee little angels, the Cupid angels that were trying to stab somebody with their arrow. I'm saying, dude, that's an artist rendition. I think you'd have a hard time getting that out of the Bible. Many artists have drawn angels with wings and playing a harp up in heaven. Some are telling us that when saints pass away from this earth, that they actually become angels in heaven. I know that some encourage people as they walk down the street to talk to your angel. You say, oh, Pastor, I can't believe that. There are people that have all kinds of strange ideas about angels. Now, to angels' credit, angels have done some incredible things in the Bible. I know that it was an angel, the Bible says, that guided Abram from Ur to Canaan. We know that it was two angels that showed up in Sodom and tried to warn Lot to get he and his family out. Angels did that. We know it was one angel. The Bible says that slaughtered 185,000 Assyrian soldiers all in one night. That's pretty good for a night. It was an angel that God sent to strengthen Elijah as he was running from Queen Jezebel. It was angels, the Bible says, that came to collect the remains of Lazarus, that poor beggar that was by the gate of the rich man. Bible says it was angels that came and took his dead body. We know that it was an angel in John chapter 5 that stirred the waters of the pool by Jerusalem's sheep market. And the first one into the pool, once it was stirred, was miraculously healed. We know it was angels that came and ministered to Jesus after he was tempted for 40 days. We know it was an angel that opened the prison doors and brought forth Peter out of that prison. We know it was an angel that God sent to Cornelius. And this angel said, Cornelius, send someone to the home of Peter. We know it was angels that God promised would encamp around about them that fear him. And we know that it will be angels that accompany our Lord when he returns to this earth with flaming fire. So without a doubt, angels have been given credit for many things. Almost 300 times in the Bible we find angels. Again, as phenomenal as the Bible records things that they've done, Look again at verse 4. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 4, being made so much better than the angels. So whatever attention might be given to angels, whatever time might be given to what angels have accomplished, Jesus is better. Now, you know, the whole advertising industry is aimed at convincing you that this new product on the market is better than anything. That's the whole idea of advertising. There are companies that pay thousands, if not millions of dollars to convince you that what they have is better. And as soon as you see an ad about that, the first thing that ought to come to your mind is, how is it better? Is it better because it's cheaper? Most times that's not true. Is it better because it's faster? Sometimes that is true. Is it better because everyone is able to get one? And so when someone claims that something is better, a clear-thinking person ought to ask, how is it better? With that in mind, look at verse 4 again. Verse number 4, speaking of Jesus being made so much better than the angels. So that's a claim, just like any other could make a claim that what they have is better. And our question tonight is, how is Jesus better than the angels? Now, listen, I think if we took a vote tonight, it would be overwhelming that we would all say, of course, Jesus is better. But you have to remember that this book was written to some people that weren't yet convinced of that. This book was written not only to new Christians that hadn't yet been established in the Christian faith, but the writer of this knew that there would be those that would read it that weren't yet Christians. So there in verse 4, when it says that Jesus was better, it's a fair question to ask, how is Jesus better than the angels? And you know that's what the rest of chapter 1 is about. So if you're taking notes, my title is, how is Jesus better than the angels? How is Jesus better than the angels? Pastor, I already believe that, so why don't we pray and go eat the food? We'll get to that sooner or later. But you need to know how he's better. Not he's better. Just take my word. No, how is he better? Do you know the rest of Hebrews 1 answers that? And it's probably the most exhaustive. I hope it's not exhausting. It's the most exhaustive passage in the entire Bible that tells us how Jesus is better. So again, we're looking tonight at how is Jesus better than the angels. Let's begin there, verse number 4. The Bible says of Jesus being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. The very first way that Jesus is better is he has a better name. Now, this is my outline. I'll tell you when to write if you're writing. But Jesus has a better name. He has a better name than any angel has ever been given. We put a lot of stock in names. I'm sure you put a lot of stock in your name, unless it's a bill collector. But you know what, preacher? What is the name that Jesus has been given that's a better name than any angel has ever been given? Because that's his first reason. Well, look there, if you would, in verse number 5. Because he answers about this name. For unto which of the angels said he, that's God the Father, anytime, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Do you know the name that Jesus has been given that is better than any name that was given to any of the angels? Is Jesus is called my son, singular, and always capitalized. If you're taking notes, very first thing, Jesus alone is called the Son of God. Pastor, how is Jesus better than the angels? First way that Jesus is better is Jesus alone is called the Son of God. Do you know that no angel is called the Son, capital S, of God? But Jesus has. You say, oh, that doesn't strike any bells yet. It apparently does to the Lord. Because the Lord only called one who has ever lived, who will ever live. Our God the Father only called one, the Son of God. Look again at verse number five. The question is asked, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son? Well, the answer, of course, it's a redundant question. None of them. None of the angels have ever been called the Son of God. Now, keep your hand there in Hebrews, if you would. Let's look over in Job. So the middle of your Bible should be Psalms. Right before Psalms is Job. Look there in Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38. Say, well, preacher, I seem to remember some passages where angels were called sons of God. And if you kind of remember that, that would kind of be true. But let's look even closer. Every word in the Bible is true. We don't change a word. Look there in Job chapter 38. Again, Job chapter 38, of course, after Job for so many chapters had been attacked by his friends and criticized by his friends. And Job is kind of, if you would, looking up to heaven and saying, God, where are you? Finally, in Job chapter number 38, God begins to speak. Look there in verse number 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, verse number 4, God is asking this of Job, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Look there, if you would, in verse number 7. So he's saying, Job, where were you when I created the earth? Verse 7. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. I want you to notice, angels are called sons of God. Angels, according to verse number 7, are called sons, little s. An angel has never been called the Son of God. Also, notice there, it's not capitalized on son, and notice it's sons. It's always plural. And so I'm saying to you that angels have never been called what Jesus was called, and he was called the Son of God. You don't need Job 38, but you do need Job chapter 1. Look at the very first chapter of Job. So we recognize that there were angels that were called sons of God, but always a little s, always plural, sons. Look there in Job chapter number 1. Again, Job chapter 1 and verse number 6. The Bible says, now there was a day when the sons of God, again, plural on sons, small s on sons, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. So we won't argue that angels have often been called sons of God, always small s. Look there in Job chapter 2 and verse number 1. Job 2 and verse 1, again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Again, sons, small s, sons, plural. Preacher, how is Jesus better than the angels? Do you know the very first way he is better is Jesus alone is called the Son of God. On your way back to Hebrews, stop there if you would in John chapter 1. Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So as you're making your way back to Hebrews, hopefully you have a bookmark there, might save a little bit of time, but John chapter number 1, we all know this verse. Not only have angels been called sons of God, small s, always plural, but you know, Christians, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you too are called a son of God. John chapter 1 and verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. But notice again, it's small s, notice again, it's plural. I'm saying the very first reason or how Jesus is better than the angels is Jesus alone is called the Son of God. While you're getting back there to Hebrews, I need you to look at 1 John. So it's after Hebrews and James, 1 and 2 Peter, 1 and 2 3 John. Look there at 1 John, a little closer to the end of the Bible, 1 John chapter 3. And verse number 1. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 1. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Again, it's small s. Again, it's plural. Look there in 1 John 3 and verse 2. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." Again, small s, always plural. "I'm saying to you that throughout the scriptures, angels were called sons of God," always small s, often most times plural. "Christians are called sons of God," always small s, most times plural. Jesus is the only one that's ever been called the Son of God. And it was prophesied in the Old Testament. Again, he's trying to convince Jews, he's trying to convince Hebrews that Jesus is better. Many of those Jews wouldn't accept New Testament scripture. And so he makes a reference back to Psalm chapter 2 and verse 7. I'll read it. We won't turn to it. Psalm chapter 2 and verse 7, "I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my Son," capital S. So it was prophesied in the Bible. Again, you say, "Preacher, I already believe that." Yes, but when someone says, "Why do you think Jesus is so much better?" I say to you the very first thing, Jesus alone is called the Son of God. No angel has ever been called my son. Look there again into Hebrews 1. Hebrews chapter number 1, look at verse 5. "For unto which of the angels said he," God the Father, "at any time, Thou art my son?" Obviously, the God the Father has never said that to any angel. You know what that tells us? Jesus was never an angel. Do you understand where we get that from? Because he asked the question, "For unto which of the angels said he," God the Father, "at any time?" The JWs teach that Jesus was an angel. The Mormons teach that Jesus was an angelic being. The Bible makes it clear that Jesus is better than any angels because he alone is called the Son of God. I give you a second reason back there to Hebrews 1. Pastor, why or how is Jesus better than the angels? First, Jesus alone is called the Son of God. I give you a second thing. Look there in verse 6. "And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him." We know the Christmas story. We're familiar with that. We know that angels appeared on that hillside outside of the city of Bethlehem. And when those angels appeared to the shepherds, their message to the shepherds was, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The shepherds were overwhelmed with this visit of angels. The shepherds were, I'm sure that they were fascinated with the fact that angels would come and tell them this message at that moment. They didn't know that the angels hadn't visited several other places first. Maybe later they realized we were the very first to hear it from angels. But you know what? No time did the shepherds fall down on their knees and worship the angels. Because all worship belongs to Jesus Christ. I say there's a second thing that Hebrews tells us. How is Jesus better than the angels? If you're taking notes, the second way that Jesus is better than the angels is Jesus alone is the subject of our worship. Again, Jesus alone is the subject of our worship. Those shepherds did not worship the angels. They were probably overwhelmed with the angels, but never did they worship the angels. All right, we who know the Christmas story realize that the wise men didn't make it that night. Very disappointing. We know that it could have been up to 2 years later before the wise men came. We know that when those wise men finally did, they came to Jerusalem. We know that they were led there by a star. Many would argue that that star was in fact an angel. And if you run Revelation 1, 2, and 3, I don't think that misses it far. In other words, it's very possible that an angel was who led those wise men from the east to find Jesus Christ. You know, there was a time where that star disappeared. And then we know there was a time where that star reappeared. So if it's an angel, I would fight for that thought, but we'll not leave that for another time. It was an angel that led those wise men. It was an angel that directed those wise men. But never did the wise men worship the angel. They never worshiped that star. Why? Because it's not the stars or the angels that deserve our worship. All of our worship belongs to Jesus Christ. So when the shepherds finally found Christ in that manger, they worshiped Christ because he alone deserves worship. When the wise men finally found the child Jesus in a house, they worshiped Jesus because he alone deserves worship. Now look there again, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 6, and again. When he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. So it wasn't that God worshiped angels. It wasn't that God wanted people to worship angels. The truth is that angels worshiped Jesus Christ. Pastor, what is it that makes Jesus, how is it that Jesus is better than the angels? And we find the second reason, Jesus alone is the subject of our worship. Never were the angels to be worshipped. Instead, the angels were to worship Jesus Christ. No created being is or ever should be worthy of worship. You know, throughout our Bible, angels refused worship. There's a couple of occasions where angels came with a great message. And out of sheer shock, I think, some of the people fell down on their knees and wanted to worship that angel. And the angels quickly stopped it because angels aren't to be worshipped. I say the second way that Jesus is better than the angels is Jesus alone is the subject of our worship. Jesus received worship from the wise men. Jesus received worship from the lepers that were cleansed. Jesus received worship from the ruler of the synagogue. Jesus received worship from the disciples in the boat. Jesus received worship from the Canaanite woman. Jesus received worship from the man born blind and given to sight. Jesus was worshiped by the women, by the disciples after his resurrection. Jesus is worshiped by the disciples after his ascension. Angels never were. They never were. I give you a third thing. Look there in Hebrews 1. We're looking at how Jesus is better than the angels. Now you say, well, preacher, I don't need to be convinced of that. That might be true. But this book wasn't just written to you. This book was written to those maybe that were not yet saved. Maybe that were caught up in angel worship. This book was written to some not yet saved, still caught up in all that Old Testament ritual. It was written to new Christians that didn't know better. We're looking in, how's Jesus better than the angels? I give you a third thing. Look there in verse 8. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. There's a third reason that Jesus is better. You and I all are not looking for the world to get better and better. It's not going to happen. Pastor, things are getting so bad. Good news. It's not getting better. But we have an escape plan. Do you know what we're looking for? We're looking forward to Jesus taking us out of here, setting up his kingdom, and Jesus sitting on the throne. And you know, when that comes, nobody else will rule and no one else will reign. You say, how do we know that? Because one day someone will hold the scepter. That scepter is that instrument that's held by a king that sits on a throne. And with that scepter, he is indicating that he has the rule, he has the authority. Pastor, why or how is Jesus better? Look again at verse 8. He gives us a third reason. Verse number 8, but unto the Son, notice capital S, he saith, thy throne, O God. Now, hold on, who's speaking? God the Father. So God the Father is speaking to his Son, Jesus Christ. Look again at verse 8, but unto the Son, he, that's God the Father, saith, thy throne, O God. God the Father knew that Jesus Christ was God the Son. I've read many, many articles about dealing with JWs and Mormons and these that are cults. And you know, I've read articles where those that were in Jehovah's Witness cult got out. And once they got out, so many were asked, what convinced you to get out? How many of them said, and this almost became one of the top 3-4 reasons why JWs got out of the JW system. They said, you know what? We were taught that Jesus was just a little God, little g, that he was not the God. So he said, everyone, particular one, said, you know what? I was convinced that Jesus was just a little God, little g, until I came to Hebrews 1 verse 8. And more people that got out of the JW cult and even the Mormon cult said Hebrews 1 8 they could not explain. In fact, they said this. They said, when we talk to somebody that's still caught in that system, we read him Hebrews 1 8. Let's look at it again. Must be pretty powerful. Hebrews 1 and verse 8, but unto the Son, that's Jesus, he, that's God the Father, saith, thy throne, O God. God the Father saying to God the Son, first of all, he's calling him God. God the Father is acknowledging that Jesus Christ is God. And again, how many people got out of those cults because of that verse? I give you a third thing. We know, of course, that Jesus is God. We know that one day there will be a kingdom that's set up. We know that when John the Baptist preached, he said, behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When Jesus and his disciples preached, behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'll give you the statement in just a minute. So we know that one day Jesus is going to sit on the throne. Our Lord is going to rule and reign. How do you know it's him? Because he's holding the scepter. Look again at verse 8, then I'll give you the wording here. But unto the Son, that's Jesus, he, that's God the Father, saith, thy throne, O God. So God the Father is calling Jesus Christ God. God the Father says to his Son, your throne, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Can I give you a third way that Jesus is better? Third way that Jesus is better than the angels is Jesus alone is the one who will hold the scepter. Jesus alone is the one who will hold the scepter. Never will an angel hold that scepter. Never will an angel sit on the throne of the kingdom. Your confidence had better be in Jesus Christ. Hey, Pastor, I'm saying, your confidence had better be in Jesus Christ. And so that's his third reason. Do you know that kingdom of heaven? Again, Jesus preached it. John the Baptist preached it. The apostles preached it. When we saints are taken to that kingdom, we will see a throne in the kingdom. We'll see a king sitting on the throne. We'll know he's the one because he holds the scepter. And the one holding that scepter is Jesus Christ. And it's of that future king sitting on a throne day that this verse 8, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. I say, preacher, how do we know that Jesus is better? Third thing is Jesus alone is the one who holds the scepter. He's in charge. He's the boss. If I could use some worldly expressions, he's the top dog. Doesn't sound very good. He's the one that's calling all the shots. Do you know, angels will not be doing that. in eternity, angels will be serving. They'll be helping. They'll be ministering. Keep your hand there in Hebrews. Look at a verse over there, if you would, in Revelation chapter number 5. Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 11. Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 11. Now, you see, preacher, I already know that Jesus is better. Yeah, but why is he better? How is he better? There are going to be some that they don't see anything big about worshiping Christ. And that's why they're giving all their attention to anything else. Look there in Revelation 5 and verse 11, talking about that future throne. And it beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne. So they're not on the throne. And the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands saying. Okay, so these angels around this throne, what are the angels saying? Verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Notice it's not angels sitting on the throne. They're all around the throne. They are worshiping the Lord who is sitting on that throne. Again, we know that that was prophesied back there in the Old Testament. Do you know, is the future kingdom where Jesus will be king, that Daniel said that kingdom will never be destroyed. Is that future kingdom where Jesus will be king, that Gabriel told Mary, of that kingdom there will be no end. Paul wrote about that kingdom. John wrote about that kingdom. There is no angel that will ever sit on that throne. Jesus, it's his throne. I give you a fourth thing. Look there in Hebrews 1. Pastor, how is Jesus better than the angels? First of all, Jesus alone is called the Son of God, the only one that has that title. Secondly, Jesus alone is the subject of our worship. He's the only one that we worship. We might be impressed with what others can do, but we don't worship them. Third, Jesus alone is the one who will hold the scepter. I give you a fourth thing, which is in Hebrews 1. Look there in verse number 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. Now he's backing up time to creation, Genesis chapter 1. We know in Genesis 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We understand that. That's all old news to either side. From Genesis 1:1 alone, we'd say, okay, God created the earth. But you know, as you get in the scriptures, it makes it even more clear who of the Godhead created this world. And so here again, look there in Hebrews 1 and verse number 10. And thou, Lord, still talking about Jesus Christ. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth. So could I say the fourth way that Jesus is better than the angels is Jesus alone is the one who set up creation. Jesus alone is the one who set up creation. Now, I'm going to add a little ending to that, so give me a little bit of room in a minute. We know, let me remind you some verses. We won't turn to them. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2. The same, still talking about the Word, still talking about Jesus Christ, the same was in the beginning with God. Verse number 3, John 1, verse 3. All things were made by Him, that's Jesus Christ. And so again, say, preacher, how is Jesus better than the angels? Because Jesus alone was the one who set up creation. I give you another reference. Again, we won't turn to Colossians chapter 1. And Colossians 1 is all talking about Jesus Christ. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. So that's Colossians 1:14. So it's talking about Jesus. Very next verse. about Jesus, who is the invisible God, that's Jesus, the firstborn of every creature, that's Jesus. For by him, that's Jesus, were all things created that were in, that are in heaven and that are in earth. I'm saying, as a preacher, how is Jesus better than the angels? Fourth reason is Jesus alone is the one who set up creation. While it's crystal clear that Jesus was the creator. We say God created, I understand that. God is a Trinity. And the rest of the Bible identifies who of the Godhead actually created. Do you know, while Jesus created all that we call creation, do you know what the angels were doing? They were shouting. They were singing. They were rejoicing. In fact, we've already read the text, so I won't have you turn to it again. But over there in Job chapter 38, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? God asked Job. When the sons of God shouted for joy. So although Jesus created all that we see, those angels on the sidelines were shouting. Could I say high-fiving? Could I say whooping it up? They were singing. They were glad. Why would you worship the angels who rejoiced over creation and not worship the one who did the creation? That would make no sense. Some of you love sports. Notice I said you. Some of you love sports. Some of you love sports to play. Yeah, that's fine. Others of us love sports to watch. And so I imagine if sports is your thing, you probably have a favorite team besides your own team. You probably have a favorite team, and you're hoping your team goes all the way through the season, and you're hoping that at the end of the season, your team wins. I think we can identify that. If your team makes it all the way to the finish, and they win, you would be absolutely shocked if the reporters went up to those that sat in the stands and said, "You did a great job. You are to be commended." You say, that's crazy. That was just people in the stands. Now, I know that, you know, every sports team says, we couldn't make it without you. Do you know what they mean by that? If you didn't buy tickets, we wouldn't get paid. That's really what that means. No one congratulates the ones in the stands that are watching. They congratulate the ones that are accomplishing the work. How is Jesus better than the angels? I say to you that fourth, Jesus alone is the one who set up creation. And I said I was going to add a little ending. Do you know that one of these days, the Lord is no longer going to need this creation? Aren't we in a world that's so focused on save the earth? One day the Lord's going to be done with this earth. And our Lord, Jesus Christ, is going to take this earth kind of like a garment. Now, I'm not trying to be mean. Some of you, when you're done with your clothes, you take them off and you drop them. You don't blush. Don't blush. You give yourself away. Others, when they're done with their Sunday clothes, they go to a closet and they hang them up. You hang them up because you intend to use them again. But you know, one day the Lord is going to be done with this earth and he's going to fold it up like a garment and he's going to toss it aside. He said, where do you get that from? Look there in Hebrews, chapter number 1. Hebrews 1, look at verse 10. Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, talking of Jesus, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. They shall perish. That's the heavens and the earth. They shall perish. But thou, that's Jesus, remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, the heavens and the earth. They're one day going to get old like garments get old. Look at verse 12. And as a vesture, piece of clothing, thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou, Jesus, are the same, and thy years shall not fail. I say to you the fourth thing, again, Jesus alone is the one who set up and will take down creation. Preacher, how is Jesus better than the angels? He created everything. The angels didn't. They sat on the sidelines and watched it happen. They sang about it happening. They rejoiced about it happening, but they didn't make it happen. Why would you worship angels? Those are the people in the stands watching. Why wouldn't you worship the one that did the creation? I give you one last. I'm done with this. Again, we're asking the question, how is Jesus better than the angels? Look there, if you would, in verse number 13. Very last way that Jesus is better. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Pastor, what's that talk about? We know that when Jesus was nailed to the cross, he was buried, 3 days later he rose again. We know that he walked this earth for how many days? 40. After the end of that 40 days, Jesus ascended back to heaven. When Jesus ascended back to heaven, the Bible says that God the Father invited Jesus to sit at the right hand of God. Do you know no angel was ever invited to sit at the right hand of God? But Jesus was. And we know because in Acts chapter 2, as Peter stood up there on the day of Pentecost, Peter began to preach to those people that were there on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Christ had been crucified. And Peter preached to them and said, by wicked hands you have crucified the Lord of glory. He is now up in heaven, sitting on the right hand of God the Father. And one day Jesus is going to come back and make his enemies his footstool. I don't know if you have a footstool at your house. But you know what you do with a footstool? You put your feet on that footstool, and they might be grimy, they might be dirty, they might be filthy, they might smell. That's what footstools put up with, all that kind of treatment. And Peter said, you are the people that have crucified the Lord, and you thought that you got away with it, that no one caught you, no one judged you, no one dealt with you. But Peter said, you know, the Old Testament scriptures says one day Jesus is coming back and he's going to make his enemies. That's you. That's who he's preaching to. That's you people, the crucified Lord. He's going to make his enemies his footstool. And you know, that was the message that those people on the day of Pentecost heard. They were petrified. Little wonder why 3,000 said, what do we do? How do we fix it? Do you know the very last reason why Jesus is better? Jesus alone sits at the right hand of God. If you were to go to heaven right now, that's where you'd find Jesus. I know we've got cute little songs, and I'm not going to pick on songs. I'll wait for another message. We've got cute little songs, you know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to stroll the streets of gold. You aren't going to find Jesus there. He is going to be sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. No angels are. You don't see any angels on that seat. It's Jesus. He has got that spot right now. You know, it might not seem that that's of particular interest to you. But you know that that Old Testament verse, incidentally, if you're writing it down, that was originally prophesied in Psalm 110, verse 1, that Jesus would sit on the right hand of God, Psalm 110, verse 1. Do you know that that verse is quoted 17 times in the New Testament? It's the one verse from Psalms that's quoted more in the New Testament than any other verse. God the Father is impressed with the fact that his Son is sitting right there on the right hand of God. 17 times. I'll read you just a few. Matthew 22:44, and the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Matthew 26:64, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power. Acts 2:34, Peter preaching, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Romans 8:34, Christ who is even at the right hand of God. Ephesians 1:20, Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Colossians 3:1, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Hebrews 10:12, but this man after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever sat down on the right hand of God. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus. And he's set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Angels will never be asked to sit in that spot. Jesus is. You know that verse 13, it demonstrates Jesus is superior to the angels. And again, it tells us Jesus was never an angel. The cults are wrong. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Look again at verse 13. But to which of the angels said he, God, the Father, at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? If Jesus had been an angel, they couldn't write verse 13 because he said, but unto which of the angels did God ever say this? He never did. I'm saying the fifth reason that we found that Jesus is better than angels is Jesus alone will sit at the right hand of the throne of God. He's sitting there even now. Three words describe the past, present, and future of angels. Angels were made, angels are messengers, and angels will minister. Those aren't said about our Lord Jesus Christ. There's never a day where he was made. There was a day where he was begotten into this world. We understand that. But our Lord is eternal. The angels are not eternal. Hebrews 1 has made a strong case for the fact that Jesus is superior to angels. And only Jesus is worthy of our praise and our worship and our adoration. We've already seen in Revelation 5 at some future point, all the angels will be gathered around Jesus at that throne and they'll say, worthy is the Lamb. Pastor, it's so clear that Jesus is to be the focus of our worship. How could anybody, therefore, worship angels? Do you know, it's just another trick of the devil. The devil is just trying to get our attention off of Jesus Christ onto anything else. Folks, everything else might be a tool that God uses, but they don't deserve our worship. I think that some of you would recognize this missionary's name. His name is John Patton. John Patton was a missionary to the New Hybrid Islands back in the 1800s. John Patton was a Bible-believing man. One night, there were hostile natives that surrounded his mission station. They were intent on burning out the Patton's home and killing the Pattons. Patton and his wife prayed during that entire terror-filled night that God would deliver them. When daylight came, they were amazed to see their attackers had left. You know, it was a year after that event that the chief of the tribe that was going to attack them was converted to Christ. And so Patton, John Patton, remembering that event a year ago, he said to the chief, he said, what kept you from attacking us? What kept you from burning down our house and killing us? And the chief replied in surprise, well, it was all those men that were with you. And Patton said, there were no men with us. It was my wife and I alone, and Patton knew there were no men that were present. The chief said, we were afraid to attack because we saw hundreds of big men in shining garments with drawn swords around your mission station. Patton knew it wasn't armed guards. Patton rejoiced in these two promises. Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. He said, it's got to be angels. Had to be, over there in Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, verse 11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. It's really an incredible thing. Now, you know what? If that happens to you, it could be angels, or it could be devils, disguised as it could be. I'd be careful. But I want to finish with this point. When Patton realized what these angels had done to protect he and his wife, he didn't fall down on his face and worship the angels. He fell on his face and worshiped God. Because within a year, it was Jesus Christ who saved that chief. It wasn't the angels. Can God use angels? He sure can, but so can the devil use angels, fallen angels. Jesus is better. I know that you already knew that before we started. This writer gave us five reasons how Jesus is better. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the text. And Lord, I know, and maybe that's why I hesitated so long preaching on Hebrews. Some of it is academic. Some of it is dwelling on things that maybe we that have been in Bible-believing churches for quite a while already believe. But it gives us substance to why we believe it. It gives us reasons to why we believe it. And Lord, it could be that angels have protected us at some dangerous point in our life. Many times God sends angels to do just exactly that. But Lord, would you help us, instead of making the mistake that the devil would like us to, instead of worshiping these angels, instead of making a bigger deal about them, may all of our praise and all of our worship be directed at Jesus Christ. For Lord Jesus alone is worthy of our praise.